My name's Brandon, and we'll be looking at some of the Bible today. I feel like I wish I could have completed this morning the Filipino trifecta. Huh? I know, I just saw two Filipinos.
Oh, you eat adobo.
I do eat adobo. I'm honorary Filipino maybe. Okay, thank you. I like pandesal. So, there was actually an announcement that was left out. It's actually a really special, very special announcement, close to my heart, and that is that tonight there is a futsal semi-final. Oh my gosh! Yes. Well, there wasn't many claps there, but I'm excited about it. That's we have two church teams. So tonight, those two church teams are versing each other in the semi-finals. So should be awesome. There are other more important things probably happening. So, but if you can be there, sure, that'd be great. Tonight we're playing soccer, but now we're listening to the Bible. We're starting a new series, and so we finished off the book of John. And we had dinner with Leo and Sandra last night, and I said, what do you guys think we'll be doing next? And then they were like, oh, well, I guess Acts. I was like, yeah, we're doing Acts. So the new series we're doing is based on Acts, and I think it's just a great reminder. Acts is such an amazing book in the Bible, which helps us see what was the disciples' response to Jesus' resurrection. And I think in our church, you know, at the moment, what is going to be our response after understanding the gospel, being disciples, knowing the Great Commission? Will we follow their footsteps, or will we start to make our own? And hopefully, as we study out Acts, we can, you know, continue to think about being more and more outwardly focused in our lives. We're not here today just to feel inward peace. We're also here to give peace to the rest of the world through Jesus. And that's our goal. And as we study that out, hopefully you're inspired to do that as well. I guess the title of the sermon today is The Acts of the Holy Spirit Through the Apostles. And we'll talk a little bit about that. We're looking at three points. That is, first, that we are powerless without the Spirit. Jesus, when he leaves, he wants to make us understand without it, we're powerless. And what does it give us the power to do? It gives us the power to witness to the resurrection. And lastly there, we have an option either to stare into the stars or to actually be trailblazing for God. And so we'll look at that today. Just a quick introduction to Acts as we get things going. Luke, who is a doctor, was the author of Acts. He also wrote his other book, Luke, and this kind of begins there, taking where he left off in Luke. And so he starts Acts talking about what's happening afterwards. Luke's two pieces of writing cover about a quarter of the New Testament. So a quarter of what we read is Luke's historical account of what happened during that period. And so let's read it together this morning. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And we'll just be reading verse 1 to 11. It says, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote all about that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' Then they gathered around him and asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Great. Let's pray, and then let's get some things out of the text. Dear Father God, Lord, we are just so thankful to be together this morning. God, to know that you created us, Father, is just so amazing. To know that we can look out into the universe and we can't fathom the size, Father, the intricacy of the design, but we are so grateful, Father, you've made it for us. Father, we have but breath in our nostrils and you sustain us. I pray this morning that we understand, Father, that we are powerless without you. Yep. Without you, Father, we should feel so insignificant, but with you, Father, we can do incredible things. Father, you've given a plan for this world, and I pray, God, that we live in a way which represents our understanding of you and our understanding of what you've done for us through your Son. We love you so much. Thank you for this great church. Pray that our worship is good this morning, God. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Yeah.
Awesome. So it says there in verse 2, starts there and it says, until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. And so Jesus has left earth. And now begins, it was kind of like the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. And now begins his heavenly ministry. He's beginning something new. And it's such an incredible kind of time period between Jesus is reappearing for 40 days and they're not really sure what's happening. And then it'll end in one moment when he leaves. And now it's their turn to go and do some things. And so the title of this book, right, it's called the Book of Acts. But people think, whose Acts are they? Are they the Acts of the Apostles? Right, that's what it's called in most Bibles. But some people might think, well, that's too man-centered, right? Because it is the Acts of the Apostles, but how much of it was actually the Apostles? And how much of it was, you know, God working through the Apostles? And we don't, you know, we know that without God, we can do nothing.
That's right.
And so we need to think about this. When we read this book, it's the Acts of the Apostles, but it's the Acts of actually the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. It's not about how awesome these men were. It's about how awesome God worked through these men. And I think there's a very clear difference. One is focused on self and ability. The other is focused on man. It's all about God and His Spirit working through us. And this is the only book that kind of really doesn't have a clear ending. Right, it closes in Acts 28. Without a clear ending, you're kind of like, okay, what's happening? What's going to happen to Paul? Right? It doesn't really clearly end because it's still meant to be working today as the Spirit works through us. And hopefully we can think about that this morning. Out of all the books in the entire Bible, Acts references the Spirit the most, about 64 times. That's way more than any other book. Because I think Luke, when he writes it, wants us to understand it's all about the Spirit. It's all about how the Spirit worked through these men. It wasn't about their ability. Right? And I think today, hopefully we can think about that in our lives, that we too are powerless without the Spirit. Without it, we are powerless. And this, you know, you might ask, well, what is the Spirit? What is that Holy Spirit which is a part of God? And it's part of what we call the Trinity. And so it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it gets confusing because you think, well, there's three things. Does that mean God is three different people? But when we think of God as the Trinity, and as the apostles realize that he was a triune God, that he was three and yet one. Yeah. And it's hard for us to fathom because God is actually an infinite being. Right? When we think of three and one, we think that's impossible. This is contradicting because we think in terms of earthly. The more dimensions you have, the kind of like more complex it gets, right? In engineering, you know, you get to like fourth dimension and you're like, but then they have so many dimensions on top of that and you can't really fathom. Likewise, God, he's outside of time, space and matter. He's greater than these things. And also the thing about God is that he's a being in relationship. He is a being in relationship. So you have these three different forms that are one, but he's in relationship at the same time. You know, when it says that God is love, How could he be love if it was only just him individually without being in relationship? Who could he love? How could he be loving if it's only him? But the fact that there's kind of like this infinite relational being allows that God can be identified as a God of love. And we find that there is unity and diversity. There are three different forms with three different kind of like roles, and yet they are unified. It was cool. I was listening to this guy, and he was saying that even university, where we are right now, it's this combination of unity and diversity. Right? University. And it's, you're trying to find unity in diversity because it's so hard to find that. But God perfects that in his kind of like form. And so I think we've got to think about, okay, the Spirit is a part of God with a different role. Yeah. And that role is something incredible. Right? What was the Spirit meant to do? It was meant to empower and embolden them. Right? We see throughout Acts, that's what's happening. They are so fired up and so inspired, they do crazy things that they couldn't have done without the Spirit. What is it? It says there in John that it comforts us, that the Spirit is a counselor for us. He convicts the world of sin, and probably convicts us too of sin. He helps us pray. Right? If you just think about those things in your life, that the Spirit helps you with those things, it gives you great power to impact the world. And so hopefully we can think about, okay, we are powerless without it. Right, moving on, there in verse 2 to 4, it says there that he chose these men, that he showed himself to these men. He convinced them that he was there and he came in the flesh, and he even ate with them and taught them. All this kind of like portrayal that Jesus, he came in the flesh. And there in Luke 24, verse 47, he gives them a specific instruction. Right? That when he came, that Jesus would leave, and that they were meant to preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins in his name to all nations. That when the Spirit came, this was their purpose. If they could summarize it, this is it. Their purpose when the Spirit came, to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sin. And so the question for us today, are we still doing that? The power to witness comes through the Spirit, and the Spirit wants us to testify. So many times we walk around and we know we should share our faith, and yet we don't. We know what we should do and we hold back. We're holding back what the Spirit's main purpose is for our life. And I think it's so crazy to me, you know, it says here in... There in Acts 1, and at the end of Luke and the start of Acts, he points out the same thing. Luke is pointing out the same thing. And what's that? He says there, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And the same thing in Luke 24, he wants them to wait. Right? Think about if you were there, you'd seen Jesus resurrect, die on the cross, go through all these things. You see him ascend into heaven. Wouldn't your first thing be, let me go tell literally everybody I know about what I've seen? Because I know for me, that would be my first response. Let me go tell someone. But here, Jesus doesn't tell them that. Jesus says, wait here. Wait until I give you the Spirit. Right? Why? Well, I think it's because Jesus wanted them to know that without the Spirit, and it's a fact, without the Spirit, they could do nothing. And so it was more practical for them to wait than for them to work without the Spirit. And so Jesus commands them, wait here until it happens. And you know what they do? They wait. And who knows how long they wait for? Maybe it was 10 days. Maybe it was 20 days. They waited because they wanted to know and they wanted to follow what Jesus had told them to do. And I think even in our lives, sometimes waiting is a faithful move. It may not feel like it, but sometimes waiting is the right move. We can get into this thing of, let me do all these things, but actually we end up working less effectively because we're not spending enough time actually pondering, where should I go? Where's the Spirit leading? Maybe that's hard to know. Right? But are we trying to keep in step with that spirit? You know, I know for me, I personally, I'm such a doer. My life, I think, it's always about doing, do. Even when I was little, you know, I'd go up to my mom and I'd pull her pants and I'd be like, "Mom, what's, I'm boring." Instead of saying I'm bored, I'd say I'm boring. Because in my mind, I just want, if I'm not doing something, I'm bored. I'm restless, I'm, you know. And I know for me, if I was in their shoes, I would have struggled with this, to kind of wait around and not do something. But Jesus gives them a command: wait for the Spirit. And if there's anything from the Acts, the book of Acts, we can think about, that we are powerless without the Spirit. Do you really believe that in your life? Or are you, is your life full of all these things and doing without actually the heart behind it? Because to work without the Spirit is to work fruitlessly. And I think when we do that, when we think in our arrogance, we believe that we are the determining factor. When we think that without us, nothing will happen. As if the Spirit isn't working without us. And there is a truth to that. But when you think that you are the reason good things are happening, when you think you are the thing which makes things happen, there's a little bit of an off in your mindset. Because ultimately it's the Spirit which will empower you to do those things. When we credit where we are today spiritually because of ourselves, it's just not true. I mean, we are so powerless. You know, we are so powerless that we can't even determine our race. None of us said, "Oh, well, actually, I want to be Filipino or something." None of us determined what century we were born in. None of us determined our family, our friends. All these things, we are powerless. We don't have control. And so why do we live like we do? Because it's only the Spirit that helps determine these things. And when we try and take control, we don't leave room for the Spirit to work. And so we have to think about, are we being self-reliant and thinking we can control? Because the Spirit came to convict us on that. All we have to remember is that life is a rich gift and we need to enjoy it. Moving on, quickly here, we've got 9 minutes left. In Acts chapter 1 verse 6, it says, "Then they gathered around him and asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom?'" And so even though all this has happened, the apostles still have no idea what's going on. Right? Which is kind of like what we're talking about, that without the Spirit, they have no idea. They still think that the kingdom is physical and territorial and all these things. But I read a comment on this. As Calvin commented, there are as many errors in the question as words. I was like, "Oh, that's kind of savage." There's as many errors in their question there in verse 6 as words. So many things wrong. Like I said, they thought that it was going to be immediate, that it might be political, that it would be territorial, that it would be national. Jesus was helping them see it's none of those things. There is a new kingdom coming and it would be spiritual. And it would be all about that Spirit. And Jesus shows them this. Right? And moving on to the second point here, that through this Spirit they would have and we would have the power to witness. The Spirit would now empower them to change the world. And many things we see today are because of how they transformed it. You know, reading there in verse 7 and 8, it reads, "He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.'" This Greek word there for witness is that one, martyrs or whatever it is. And it's where we get the English word martyr. And that English word means kill, or someone who is killed because of their own beliefs. And I love that comparison, right? For them to witness to the resurrection, what Jesus was calling them to was what we consider today martyrdom. Right? And I'm not saying we should go and, you know, be radical and try and kill ourselves for Jesus, but we have to be witnessing to the point that we're willing to give up such a thing. And the apostles understood this, that if they were to testify to what they have seen and heard, that's what it may require of them. And all of them but one died because of their witnessing. And the other one was exiled on an island. And so for us in our lives, we have the power to witness. I mean, the Spirit was coming so that they would do that. Right? If for our lives, the Spirit you were given at baptism, it's not for you just to feel good about yourself. It's actually there to give you power to witness and to testify to the world around us. Right? And so for us, right, we want to think about, are we like those martyrs today? Are we willing to go to the same extent? Because that is the call. That's what Jesus has called us to. We see these weak apostles turned into incredible men, not because of their ability, but because of that Spirit. And they died for what they saw. And so I just think about it. So ask for yourself, have you lost this power to witness? Are you holding back the Spirit in your life? How often do you share your faith? I know for me that when I came back from Adelaide, we were sharing our faith every day. And coming back, I was so convicted, I just wanted to share my faith every day. Come on. And I think we get out of kind of like the habit, and then sharing our faith becomes this big thing. But it's not.
Yeah.
Just open your mouth. Just do something. Do the wrong thing. Just say something, because it may spark something.
That's right.
Because ultimately we want to know that it's the Spirit working through us, not our genius, eloquent conversation. And what do we see about the kingdom? That it's powerful. It was coming with power, but also that it would be international. Right? He says there that it would be to the ends of the earth. This continuation, that it was going to be an international movement, this movement. Right? I love being at about a part of our church. Right? We're worshipping here in Melbourne, but you know, there's a church in Sydney and a church all over the world. Me and Megan went to America, and it was awesome. You know, we just get to go there and see disciples. And you know, if you go anywhere in the world, pretty much there's churches like us.
That's right.
Right? And I think, wow, you know, we're a part of this, what Jesus is calling us to. But don't forget that.
That's right.
Right? You're here on a Sunday, but you have brothers and sisters all over the world witnessing with you.
That's right.
What an encouragement. You're not alone. You're not the only witness. I mean, look around you.
Amen.
These people in this room are witnessing with you.
That's right.
Be inspired by each other. Call each other higher. Keep each other accountable. How's it going with that? You know, we need to be asking each other those questions. Because it's a part of, it's the Great Commission. It's what we should be known for, witnessing to that. Another part of the kingdom, it's gradual in its expansion. It just meaning that it would be working and slowly working, that Jesus would come back kind of when the whole world has heard about it. And it would gradually expand. You know, 2,000 years later today, it's still expanding. It's still growing. But the only thing that will hinder us is when we aren't actually saying anything. You know, I think here in this room, maybe, I don't know, 200, 250 people, there's so many people to talk to about Jesus. So many people that need it. And so we shouldn't be thinking about the end times. We shouldn't be worrying about when is the end going to come. As they asked in verse 6, they asked, when's it all going to happen? And is it now? And we shouldn't worry about that. Our goal is, and Jesus points them, witness. And that's the challenge this morning. Are you witnessing to the gospel? When was the last time you're in a Bible study? If it's not this year, I really plead with you, think about that.
Yeah.
How many more people should you be talking to? Because we should all be focused on this mission. And a lot of our problems stem because we get so inwardly focused.
That's right.
Right? We get anxious, we get frustrated, we get angry, we get, you know, not content with our lives because we're so focused on ourselves. Jesus' commission is get outward.
Yep.
A lot of your problems will be solved just when you actually do something for God.
That's right.
Amen.
Those things kind of disappear. And so for us in our lives, get outward. Get focused on the mission. Lastly, and in a minute, stargazing or trailblazing. Right there in verse 10 to 11, he says there, they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken away from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So they had these men are pleading with them and saying, these angels that came, don't look up there, don't keep focusing and on the wrong things. Rather, set an example. Be trailblazers for God. You know, for me personally, I love stargazing. It's awesome. Right? We went to Wilson's Prom a few years ago. Incredible. Awesome stars. Makes me consider how awesome God is. But the thing about stargazing is you can't keep track of the time. You lose track of time. You lose track of your surroundings because you're just like this. You have no idea what's going on. And I think as disciples, we don't want to be stargazers, right? Oh, God's awesome, yeah. And we're not really actually focused on our surroundings, what we're meant to be doing, right? There is a time, I think stargazing is actually good for our faith, but I think that we don't want to be stargazing disciples without purpose, without direction, off into space. We want to be doing something. We want to be out there trailblazing. I think we either end up as either of the extreme. We either end up off in space in our faith, going through life but not really considering what's going on around us and what we should be doing. Or we can be real trailblazers and actually doing something for God, getting out there and witnessing to the resurrection. Let's think about these things. Right, let's think about that without the Spirit, we are powerless. Right? We need to find a balance between us actually working and the Spirit working through us. If we don't open our mouths, the Spirit can't work. But if it's all about us, the work we do is in vain. We are powerless without Him. And so ask yourself, are you using that in your life? Because He has given you solely the purpose of witnessing to the world around you. Saving the souls, bringing peace to them. And that is where we can get rid of a lot of our problems when we just simply get outwardly focused. And we can either be stargazing, focusing on all the wrong things, or focusing on, man, let's make an impact on here in Melbourne, around the world, as we witness to Jesus in our lives. Amen. To God be the glory. Let's stand and sing one final song.